SBS στα ελληνικά.
What do you think of the ranking of the Mediterranean diet as the best overall diet by a large US news agency?
I think it's great, and I'm not surprised because the Mediterranean diet is one of the world's most researched diet in terms of its impact on prevention and management of chronic disease. So it was very pleasing to see it ranked first this time in 2019 amongst 41 different eating plans by a team of experts in the US.
You mentioned that Mediterranean diet is one of the most researched. Can you give us the main findings of this research?
Sure. So the research, which spans back at least two decades, has demonstrated consistently that a Mediterranean diet eating pattern is protective against primary and secondary prevention of coronary heart disease, prevention of type 2 diabetes and improved management of type 2 diabetes, reversal of elements of the metabolic syndrome like fatty liver, which are associated with the with increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and more recently improvements or prevention of neurodegenerative diseases like dementia and Alzheimer's in particular, and also mood, reversal of depression and anxiety in patients with mild depression. So it is an all-round dietary pattern that has been shown to be protective in a multitude of chronic diseases.
What are the elements that make the Mediterranean diet a very healthy way of eating?
So the key elements of the Mediterranean diet are that it is a plant-based diet, not exclusively plants. It's not vegetarian, although you can have a very healthy vegetarian Mediterranean diet, but a plant-based diet with a ratio of plant to animal foods of 4 to 1. So on a plate, you have four times as much plant foods than you want animal foods. The main added fat in the Mediterranean diet is extra virgin olive oil, and that is used extensively and exclusively as the added fat in cooking, salads, and also in preparation of sweets for festive occasions. It is high in plant foods, particularly leafy greens and wild edible greens as well, called horta, abundant in salads, which includes tomatoes and onions and garlic, and lots of herbs and spices, which flavour the food and boost the antioxidant content of the dishes. In terms of proteins, one of the main proteins in this diet are legumes, and legumes are consumed regularly, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, and particularly during fasting every day. And proteins are consumed, animal proteins, more moderately, so red meat in much, much smaller quantities, poultry a little bit more often, but fish more regularly. So fish, particularly small fin fish, like sardines, consumed regularly, at least a couple of times a week, and also other seafoods like octopus and shellfish. The diet has sweets occasionally, and generally for special occasions and for festive seasons, and wine or alcohol in moderation, and wine is preferred, red wine where possible, and consumed with a meal, and generally moderately 1 to 2 glasses with a meal, and not without food. So that sort of encompasses the Mediterranean diet. And for snacks, it's not the biscuits and the chocolates and the sweets. It's often nuts and dried fruit and fresh fruit consumed as snacks, and fermented dairy foods such as yogurt eaten as a light meal at night, or even in between meals as a snack or a breakfast food. So very healthy diet, and given that range of foods and in those proportions, high in all the important nutrients that are are important for maintaining health and preventing illness.
If I'm not mistaken, recent research that you have conducted has shown that there is a direct, very positive correlation between the Mediterranean diet and asthma in children. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, we recently published a paper, and this was a study that was conducted by my PhD student, Maria Papamichael, in Athens. So this study involved 72 children with asthma. We randomised them onto a Mediterranean diet supplemented with fatty fish. The other half of the cohort followed their usual diet, and we followed them for a period of 6 months and measured their asthma symptoms and a number of different biomarkers of asthma control. At the end of the 6 months, we found that the children that were following a Mediterranean diet supplemented with fatty fish had significantly lower levels of an inflammatory marker that is specific to lung inflammation, exhaled nitric oxide. So what this indicates is that by consuming a Mediterranean diet supplemented with fatty fish, children with asthma could experience a reduction in lung inflammation, and this could potentially lead to improved asthma management. So this was one of the first studies that looked at an intervention using a Mediterranean diet supplemented with fatty fish in children with asthma.
And was this research conducted in Australia?
This research was conducted in Greece, but it is a La Trobe University study, and the PhD student is a La Trobe student. So now that we've conducted this study in Greece, we're very keen to look at further studies in Australia and potentially other places around the world, and to also see whether this effect is also seen in older people, in adults with asthma.
You mentioned wild greens, and you said a Greek word, horta.
Horta.
When we say Mediterranean diet, does this refer to specifically a country, or it encompasses all of the countries of the Mediterranean basin?
Well, generally, a Mediterranean diet is adopted across all of the countries that surround the Mediterranean Sea, but the most researched version of a Mediterranean diet is one that that is from Greece, and particularly originated from the island of Crete, and there are many similarities with the Cretan diet across many areas across Greece and other islands and rural areas in mainland Greece, but the Cretan diet is most researched because it featured in the seven country study that was completed by Ansel Keys and his collaborators back in the 1950s and 60s. So it was the first recorded and considered archetypal Mediterranean diet, and that's the diet that we've that my research has been based on here in Australia, and a lot of the dietary scores that are used to assess the Mediterranean-ness of someone's diet are based on a Cretan Mediterranean diet. But there are different versions across Italy and Spain, and there are a lot of similarities, particularly around the use of extra virgin olive oil being the main added fat, legumes being predominant as a protein, and leafy greens, whether they're cooked salads or cooked greens or salads, are predominant in these countries that surround the Mediterranean. And when you're closer to the sea, there's more fish.
If someone wants to take up the Mediterranean way of eating, what adjustments would he or she need to make?
Firstly, to tackle one of the biggest problems that we have in Australia, and that is discretionary foods or snack foods. So we know that Australians are consuming a third of their kilojoules or calories from snack foods. So chocolates, chips, biscuits, snacks, and excessive alcohol is part of that as well. So if we examine our snack foods and try and replace those snacks with healthy snacks like nuts and dried fruit and fresh fruit or yogurt, then that's a big step towards having a healthier diet and moving towards a Mediterranean diet. Another very simple step is to use extra virgin olive oil wherever possible in cooking and in salads. So replacing other fats that you're using in cooking or in salads with extra virgin olive oil, and that immediately improves the quality of your diet and makes it, your dietary pattern more Mediterranean. From there, you can move on to changing the balance of proteins you have through the week, so consuming two meals per week that are vegetarian and based on legumes as the main protein, which means you're starting to reduce the amount of meat you eat, particularly red meat, limiting red meat to lean serves of red meat, smaller portions, and incorporating meat into vegetable foods, so casseroles, so smaller pieces of meat, not a half a plate where you've got, you know, 300 grams of meat and tiny little bits of salad. That's not the right balance. You've got to flip it around and have much smaller portion of meat and much larger portions of salads and vegetables. Then we start to think about fish, incorporating fish into the weekly menu twice a week. That could be cooking fish in any way, grilled or baked or in soups or in, and tinned fish is fine as well. Knowing though that tinned fish can be higher in salt, you need to choose tinned fish. If you need to watch your salt intake, tinned fish that is canned in spring water instead of brine, but tinned fish is perfectly okay, salmon or tuna, and sardines wherever possible, because sardines, whether they're tinned or fresh cooked, are very high in the omega-3 fatty acids, which are the important oils that are found in fish that are important in cardiovascular health and brain health. So there are a number of things that are quite simple. You don't have to go and prepare a very complex Mediterranean dish. You can if you like cooking, but there are easy ways to incorporate these Mediterranean foods into your everyday diet, whichever cuisine you're consuming.
There's been a lot of talk about sugar, and you touched upon it when you mentioned desserts and sweets in the Mediterranean diet. Is there a lot of sugar and many sweets in the traditional Mediterranean diet?
Not traditionally. So when you visit Greek restaurants or coffee shops, you'll notice an abundance of Greek cakes, because Greeks and other people from Mediterranean, whether they're Spanish or Italian, love desserts like most people, and there is an abundant variety of desserts. However, traditionally, desserts and sweets were prepared for special occasions, whether they be festive, religious celebrations, or someone's name day, and those sweets or desserts were shared amongst many people. So an individual would have a small portion, and then not eat the sweets every day. So sweets every day are not common traditionally. They are prepared for special occasions, and what is eaten as a dessert on a regular basis are the snacks I mentioned earlier. So a fresh fruit platter straight after a meal to freshen the palate. And that's a common saying in a Mediterranean climate. You freshen your palate after a meal with fresh fruit, and often fresh fruit that you will grow in your own backyard when you're living in a rural area or an area where you've got an abundant garden. So sweets are not that common. There's not sugar added to foods generally, but the other thing about a traditional Mediterranean diet is that it's low in processed foods, so there aren't hidden sugars. If we are eating a highly processed diet and we just prepare foods that are prepackaged, there will be lots of hidden sugars, as well as the obvious ones in cakes and donuts and biscuits and chocolates. So one final thing to say about Greek sweets and desserts is that they're generally prepared with healthier ingredients. So oftentimes traditional desserts are made with olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, instead of butter, and there'll always be nuts, or generally there are nuts in many of the desserts, and baklava being a classic, or even some of the biscuits, melamokarona, which have nuts in them. There are nuts often that are incorporated, so it just boosts up the health dial a little bit on that dessert.
And seeds as well.
Oh, and seeds, of course, yes. So seeds are used extensively in desserts, and certainly in a modern Mediterranean diet, seeds and nuts can be added to salads. So that's a good way of consuming those healthy healthy foods in the diet. Seeds and nuts do provide the healthy type of fat So that's great to have. But there is another common sweet that is consumed in a Greek Mediterranean diet, and that's pastelli, which is sweet. It's made of honey and sesame, and you only need a small portion, but that has minimal ingredients. It's not highly processed. There's not 25 different ingredients on the pack, an artificial this or that. It is sesame and honey traditionally, so and maybe some cinnamon, so which is a very healthy spice to add. You can add that to casseroles as well, but certainly add it to dessert in the Mediterranean cuisine.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες συναρπαστικές ιστορίες σαν αυτή που μόλις ακούσατε? Βρείτε μας στην εφαρμογή SBS Radio App.